apostles go missing. Jesus is mine. Their apostles go to call him. Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. Jesus today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Oh, Jesus today is mine. Well, I woke up this morning. I didn't have no doubt.
Amen. Are you glad?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad the devil's mad. I'm the lad he thought he had. Praise God. But I'm glad. Praise the Lord. Glad to be free. Glad to be in the house of the Lord. Praise God. Glad to be in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. And I greet you all in the name that's above every name. The name of Jesus Christ is above every other name. He came in the Father's name. Praise God. You know, I was thinking this morning of a sermon Stephen Shelley preached years ago, and it was based on a true story. It was called the 12-foot shuffle. Who's ever heard of the 12-foot shuffle? The 12-foot shuffle was about a bear. And this bear was kept in a cage. And he went 12 feet forward, 12 feet backward in the cage. And he's all in the cage all his life, 12 feet forward and 12 feet backward. And he never knew there was anything but that cage. But there's a man seen him. And he said to the boy, I'm going to buy that bear. And he said, I'm not selling him. And this man was a rich man. And he says, I'll pay you whatever you have to get for him, but I'm buying him. And he got the bear and he took him away out to the big place he had, you know, for the wild animals. A big open place. He had thousands of acres. And he opened the cage and the bear never went out of it. But he went 12 feet forward and 12 feet back. So he burned the cage and he burned the house he was in. And when he burned all, the bear still went 12 feet forward and 12 feet back, even when the cage and the thing was burnt, because he never realized he was free. But the man bought him and he set him free. And he burned the cage in the house he was in. And he made him free. And he had thousands of acres to roam in. But he never knew it. Because he was that long caged up 12 feet forward and 12 feet back. He didn't know it is free. And we're free this morning in the house of the Lord. You're allowed to say amen. Amen. You're allowed to say thank you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because you're free. And not the devil's. You're bought with a price. And what a price. The precious blood of Jesus. As of a lamb. Without spot and without blemish. Your Lord owns you. And he hasn't caged you. But he set you free. It's that wee song. Our brother John used to sing it years ago. We sing it. My soul has escaped like a bird. Out of the cage of the enemy. Out of the snare of the enemy. And my help's in the name of the Lord. We're free this morning. The devil is a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. The Bible says he's the father of lies. But Jesus is the truth. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. Thank God this morning we're not in the 12-foot shuffle. If any is what have danced round this church, praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you, we need loosening up. We need oil in the joints. You know, I knew two old brethren, man, years and years ago when I was only a wee lad. And there's a wee woman, and she was in a wheelchair with pains in her knees. And she got so sore she couldn't walk or do anything. And they went and visited her. And you know, they tell you the brethren don't believe in healing and all. Well, the old ones did. And they prayed for her. And they gave her a recipe. And the recipe was honey, lemon, and olive oil. And every evening and every morning she took a spoonful of the honey and the lemon and the olive oil mixed. And they came back in a fortnight and she was walking. They just needed oiled up a bit. Do you ever have an iron machine and it's squeaking and squeaking? Even the door in the house squeaking and squeaking. And you put a bit of oil on it. And what you do, what next? You get it like Jack Cole, you give it back and forward several times as hard as you can. And it'll start working. Praise God, loosens up. We need loosened up in the Holy Ghost. Loosen up to worship. Set free to worship. Set free to laugh and dance. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We need him a Pentecost, not plenty cross. Amen. You're glad you're here, not in jail. Some of you need a jail sentence. Glory. It's great to be free. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I remember one of the days I was getting out of the Crumlin Road jail. The day I was getting out, I was due to get out. And the old boy said to me, he said, you need to go outside and clean all the drains. And I said, I'm not cleaning no drains. And he said, are you refusing an order? And if I'd have said no, I'd have done another month. If you get half the time, whatever time they give you, you do the half of it. But if you break the rules, you get more. And I said, right, I'll clean the drains. It was raining out in the yard. And I put the wetsuit on, went out to clean the drains. And then the boy called me shortly after, you're free. It's great to get free. Free! But I'll tell you, the greatest freedom was when Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. You're glad this morning. Tell whoever's beside you, I'm glad I'm free. Amen. Hallelujah. Glad I'm free. Glory to God. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians 15. If I ever get started, maybe Brother John preach next Sunday morning. Is that all right, brother? Brother Larry's preaching tonight. And then the week after that, maybe Samuel will do the evening service. Praise God. We were away for 3 weeks. You fellas are going to have to do all the preaching for 3 weeks. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. I'll tell you, the devil's a liar. Amen. When things are not going right, never worry one thing about it. It's only symptoms. But God's a cure for them. Hallelujah. There's a time for everything under the sun. There's seasons. But the change. Are you ready for a season change? This morning I was listening to Morcerello. I just come up and someone is watching. And Morcerello went out of America in Irish journey and he rebuked America and he says, you Americans, an hour from you is the most infested devil place that I've ever been to. When he got to it, he took sick and he told the boy driving him round, take me straight to the hotel, and they didn't want to take him. And he said, you need to take me right away. God told him to go to the hotel room. He got to the hotel room, he got on his knees, and he said, Lord, what's happening? I don't feel good. And the Lord said, son, I brought you back to the hotel room to talk to you. And he showed him there's 300 witches going to be in the service that night. And he said, I'm going to tell you how to identify them. And he showed Morcerello what they'd look like and how he would identify the 300 witches. And every other preacher came and finished them. And they got Sorello's photo and they prayed around it and done chants around it, these witches, never end. But God said to them, tonight when you go to the service, whatever you say will be just like I said it. Anything you say will be like I said it. And the power of God fell on the place and Morcerello exposed the witches, 300 of them. And one of the top presidents of that country was there. And he said, The first move one of these witches make, they'll carry out dead. And nobody moved. And then they started passing the baby down over, and the wee baby was deaf or blind. And that top president man, he lived next door to them. And he knew it was a mighty miracle. And the power of God broke for 3 weeks in that place, and many people could see him and healed by the power of God. One miracle speaks louder than 1,000 words. Praise God. We better read this morning. I am excited. The devil tells you, oh, you do this, that. You never listen one word of him. Jesus is the truth. Let's read this. Just one verse. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. What's going to happen to it? It's going to be abolished. Death will be abolished. Let's bow our heads this morning. Praise God. If you ever need, lift your hand up high to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we humbly and reverently bow before you because your name, Lord, is far above every other name, both in heaven and on earth beneath. Lord, we reverence your name. We're not come to speak or talk about any other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Salvation in the name, healing in the name, redemption in the name. We speak your name, dear Jesus. We sense your presence in this very service right now. We take authority over every devil and every demonic power in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We plead your blood over our lives afresh. Sanctify us, wash us, cleanse us, and fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you for every hand raised in this room. Grant them what their heart's desire is in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for Brother Nigel that's had a fall. Lord, I'm asking you from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet for the mighty miracle touch of the power of God in Jesus' mighty name. Pray for Brother Yule, Lord, for Brother Jordy's wife, for Brother any other sick and with colds. Lord, I curse them, the bugs, the flu, the viruses, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask you for complete healing and deliverance in Jesus' precious name. Lord, your word is blessed, but bless it to us. Open our understanding. Open our hearts. We reverence you. I take the Holy Ghost to help me now. And I thank you that you do. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Forgive me this morning. Praise God, you know. And a bit of a trance or something this morning. I was away somewhere preaching. I was upstairs and I was waiting on the Lord, and you know, imagining I was preaching to this group of people, and I started out, it says, I haven't come to tell you about any name but the name of Jesus, and the power of God fell. Amen. I tell you, the Lord's good. From the time of Adam and Eve bent over the murdered form of Abel, down to this present time, death has reigned over the human race, and no one except Enoch and Elijah escaped it, for he never died, but God took him. And Elijah never died, for he was caught up in a chariot of fire into the presence of the Lord. From the king that sits on the throne right down to the very lowest of person or the tramp in the corner, all have to face death. And there's only one man that's abolished death. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has abolished death. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing. Excuse me, of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Look at what Brother Gary said, right, when he was leading the songs. When you receive that incorruptible seed, the Bible says, it does not defile, it does not fade away, There's something in you this morning that is incorruptible. That's the part of God in you that cannot die, because God cannot die, and death and sin cannot have dominion over you, because Jesus Christ has conquered both death and hell and the grave, and he ever liveth this morning to make intercession for the saints, and he will abolish death. And the Bible tells us that this death is abolished through the gospel. Right. And people say, why preach the gospel? I have a message for the men and women that say, why preach the gospel? I want to say in this pulpit this morning, there's no other message to preach, only the gospel. Amen. For the gospel is God's message. Amen. That is called in Revelation the everlasting gospel. Thank God for the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel brings immorality to light. There's light and there's life through the gospel, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I love that wee song that our brother Gary sings. That's what Jesus said. I am the light, the truth, and the way. That's what Jesus said. That's a wonderful song. It's inspired of God. He is the truth. He is the way. What is death? Death is the departure of the soul, the spirit from the body, leaving the body to corruption and dissolution. What does the word abolish mean? Here's what the dictionary definition is: to go away with, to put to an end, annul, destroy. Naturally, the people ask, if Jesus has abolished death, why does death? You know, why is there still death? The answer is, death has been abolished by proclamation. Proclamation has abolished death. You're in this flesh. This physical part will still face death if the rapture doesn't take place. You have a part that will die. But hear me this morning. You have a part that will not and cannot die. Praise God. That's your soul that's been redeemed by the Lord. And you're going to get another body which is incorruptible, like unto his own glorious body that feedeth not away in the heavens, reserved forever. Hallelujah. A body change. Jesus could come tonight, and these bodies would be changed, for this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It's swallowed up at Calvary. Jesus has paid the price. The proclamation's been made. The price has been paid. When God planted a garden in Eden and placed man in it, he publicly made a law of rules forbidding to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told them, don't touch it, don't eat of it. And the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. But the old devil, he said, you'll not die. He told a lie. Then he said, has God said? He knew God said it. But he got the doubt in. And when he got the doubt in, disbelief always follows doubt. And sin is unbelief. Smoking and drinking is not sin. That's the fruit of sin. But sin is unbelief. To disbelieve God is sin. And the enemy sowed a seed in Eden. And he got Eve to disbelieve what God said. And she disbelieved. And Adam willingly, with his two eyes open, partook with her. And they disobeyed God. And he plunged the whole human race into death. Universal condemnation. Universal separation. Universal sickness. Universal disease. But thank God there's a second man from heaven. The second man from heaven. The first man was of the earth, earthly. But the Lord is from heaven. The second Adam, he's from heaven. He's not from the earth. He's from above. He condescended, glory to God. He came down that we might go up. Did you hear that? He come out of the blue that we might enter through the blue. Glory to God. He came down that we might go up. He bridged the gulf at Calvary between heaven and hell. He made a bridge over that we can escape both death, hell, and the grave. Oh, thank God this morning. The penalty for breaking the law was death. The death was twofold. First, spiritual death. For Adam and Eve died spiritually the moment they broke the law. And secondly, it was physical death. Adam dying physically, 930 years. Now, man, think of this. If they hadn't sinned, they would have lived over 1,000 years. Over 1,000 years, if they hadn't sinned. But because they sinned, they never reached 1,000 years. But there's going to be a group of people that's going to come back with Jesus after the rapture takes place. And we're going to stand on the Mount of Olives with our feet and just going to slip into, and the mighty river's going to come up through. They'll be rolled up into Jerusalem, and we're going to live and reign with Christ in this earth for 1,000 years. We're going to live with the Lord because Jesus is going to prove to the devil that man can do the 1,000 years. What do you think of that? You ever hear to put in your pipe and smoke it? Well, the devil needs to put it in his pipe and smoke it. And let me tell you, he's the one that started the smoking. The devil did. You know, my old grandfather said to me one day, he said, "Tommy, I smoked for years. But," he said, "one day I put my hand on my head and I realized there was no chimney. So I quit smoking." That's what he said. He realized there's no chimney on his head. There's no chimney, so he quit the smoking. A fella said to me one time, he said, "Well, smoking, send me to hell, brother." I says, "No, but you'll smell like you've been there." Amen. Christians shouldn't be smoking. It's a dirty, filthy habit. Spurgeon smoked. And he was a man of God. But the Lord soon taught him about that, didn't he? When he said, "The devil's using you, Spurgeon, for an advert for his kingdom." And that was the finish of it. Praise God. Romans 5 and 12 says, "For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, until death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Adam's the one that started it. Started because of Adam. But thank God for the second Adam. Thank God for another man called Jesus. And something started with him. Life. Life began with him. We were all dead in sin and trespasses. We were all far from God. We were all at a distance. There was a plague upon us, which is called sin. Our heart was affected, and our heart needed change. And Jesus came and shed his blood, and he gave us a blood transfusion at Calvary. And he cleaned us, and he washed us, and he put his spirit within us. And he says in Romans that the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It will quicken, make alive your mortal body. We're living this morning. We're not dead no more. We're alive. And I want to tell you, those that's went on before us are very much alive this morning. They're very much alive. They're in a paradise of God. They're in a wonderful place this morning. They're robed in white robes. This morning they're waiting. They're watching. Praise God for that little son. "I'll meet you in the morning." Just inside the eastern gate. Hallelujah. We're going to meet them again. We're going to meet them again. This law of death is still in force because it's never been repealed. Hear me this morning. A law, however, may be nullified or made of no effect, abolished by the enactment of a law that's greater. When it goes into effect, it will correct it. Hallelujah. So the law of death, though it has never been repealed, has been abolished by the law of resurrection. Jesus corrected the law of death because he was the only one that brought in the law of the resurrection. And not only did he bring in the law of the resurrection, but the Bible says he is the first fruits of the dead, of the resurrection. Now, you fellas know better than me, the farm. You know, if you get that first fruits, there's other fruits that's following. There's other fruits following. So the graves are going to open. Death and hell are going to have to give up when Jesus sounds that trumpet. Glory to God. Did you hear that? The graves will open. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up, thrust up, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Somebody says, well, I need to get a set of wings. You'll need nothing for you, but take it. Take it. Just like it says, Jesus was taken up. Enoch was taken up. You're going to be taken. Somebody's coming for you. Did you hear that? You're not deciding when you're going. This is the thing about it. No preacher, no man knows the day and the hour. Only the Father knows when he's come, and he's going to take you. You're leaving here. I tell you, people put so much emphasis down here, but we're leaving. We're leaving. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Praise God. By the slaying of Christ, hear me this morning, by the slaying of Christ on the cross, death potentially slew its own self.
Yes.
That was a mistake. When Jesus was slew, death defeated its own self because of that. Oh, praise God. Now, let's go back for a moment. Let me get this again. Write this down. I've said it many times. This is why you can never, ever put another man in the place of the Lord Jesus. He is the only man ever that death had no claim on. Death had a claim on Adam after he sinned. Death had a claim on Eve. Death had a claim on every single man. Even on Enoch, on Elijah, though the Lord took them. But it still had a claim on them. But death had never, ever a claim on Jesus Christ. Never. Because he had no sin. He had no sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin. He is the blameless, the spotless Lamb of God. The incorruptible Word made flesh. Hallelujah. Death had no claim on him, but he willingly, obediently stepped into death and challenged death, and he conquered death, and he conquered hell, and he conquered the grave for me and you. And the slaying of Christ was the abolishing of death. Death was defeated once Christ was slain, because he rose after being dead. Death couldn't hold him. He broke the pattern.
Hallelujah.
He broke the pattern. Death could not hold him. Thou wilt not leave a soul in hell, the psalmist David said. Neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. But God raised him up from the dead. On the third day, Jesus rose. And the tomb is empty. Old Buddha and Muhammad are still in the graves. They can put whatever they want into their physical bodies and inject them with all sorts of fluids and do whatever they want. It makes no difference. It won't cure them. It'll never bring them back. But Jesus Christ is risen. He's risen. Not only is he risen, but after he rose from the dead for 40 days, 40 days after he rose, he showed himself alive amongst his disciples with many infallible proofs for 40 days. He even walked in through the wall when the doors were closed. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. What a message Christ has given us this morning. Hallelujah. We can picture death saying to the captain of the tomb, hold on to that man in Joseph's tomb. And you know that Joseph was a secret believer. And he was a very rich man. He made his grave with the rich and the poor, the thief and the cross. And the rich man, Joseph, put him in a tomb. Hear me this morning, where never any man left. God gave me a message not once. You know what I called it? Craving the body of Jesus. Do you know how I got it? Joseph went into them, and he craved the body of Jesus. How many's ever read that? He craved the body of Jesus, and he put him in a tomb for never no man led. That's the tomb Jesus was put in. In a tomb and a rock for never no man led. And he made his grave for the rich and the poor. And he says, you hold on to him until corruption sets in and seizes upon him. For he come, if he comes out, He'll make a breach in the walls of hell or Hades. Call it whatever you want. The underworld. He'll make a breach in the wall. He'll break through. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to tell you a wee story. It's funny. Maybe I shouldn't tell it, but I'm going to tell it now anyhow. Years ago, my father went to a wee job, and because he was a farmer, reared farming background. You know, when you're farming background from the country and you go to Belfast or some of these towns, they think you're a bit thick. But the truth be told, the farmer's not so thick because he's brought up wherever hanging. Isn't that right? But anyhow, they thought he's a bit thick. So my dad said, I'll play these boys at their own game. So he said to him, Brother Laurie, he says, Billy, there's a plumber coming here and I need a hole cut through the wall for a wee pipe to go through. Now, you know a plumbing pipe, brother, something like this. You know a wee plumbing pipe to go through the wall in a wee hole like this. Well, my dad tucked her with a pot hammer and a big chisel. And he got her cut through and he looked through the hole. And he says, your boy, he says, is that hole big enough? And your boy ran into the boss and he says, come quick and get this man stopped. He's going to have the whole belt knocked down. He cut the hole in her a bit right. I'll tell you, they didn't send him to cut no more holes, but Jesus overdone it, you know. Are you hearing me this morning? He overdone it. He kept hell. He kept the grave wide open, praise God. They never even needed to roll the stone back or cut a hole in it. Jesus come out of the grave and the stone was still over it. He was out of it. And when they came looking at him, they wanted them to roll the stones back and said, two men in white apparel said, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? He's not amongst the tombs this morning, but he's living this morning. There's a lot of people and they're gathered amongst the tombs, but Jesus is not in the tomb. He's risen. Hallelujah. You say, brother, what are you preaching about? There's a man in the land of the Gadarenes, and the Bible says he dwelt amongst the tombs in the place of death. But even though he was naked and nobody could pass that way, and they cut himself with stones and they tied him with chains and he broke them asunder, he was possessed by the legion of devils. And he was in the tombs, a place of death. But one day, a man called Jesus, hallelujah, amen, a man called Jesus come over on a boat, and the devil tried to sink it when he was coming over, and he stood up and he said, peace, be still, and there's a great calm. The devil knew he was coming. I tell you, when he stepped out of that boat onto the shore, them devils started to squeal. They cried out in terror, we know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Art thou come to torment us before the time? There is a time coming for the devil when he will end. But Jesus Christ and every believer has something in them called eternity. Everlasting life is within you this morning. I tell you, Jesus cast the devils out of that man. Hear me this morning. He never ever dwelt amongst the tombs no more. God hasn't called you to gather in the tombs, but God has brought you out of the tombs into the place of life and liberty, into the holiest of holy, where the Shekinah glory can come and dwell upon you and the Holy Ghost can fill you into his presence. Where is God's chosen place of worship? Where is it? Where he puts his name. Where he puts his name. And God put his name in Jesus, in the Son. He came in the Father's name. Is that right? And where two or three is gathered in his name, he is in the midst to bless us. He's here this morning to bless you. Praise God. I'm going to hurry up. My time's gone. Death. Dominions. He led captivity captive. Isaiah 68 verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts from men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. He's given gifts unto men. Thank God for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. You know, there's a lot of churches where there's no gifts anymore. But I believe that God sent the spirit of Elijah. Not that we'll worship William Branham. That's not why the spirit of Elijah came. The spirit of Elijah came that we, our hearts would be turned, that we would worship Jesus, and we would come back to the original apostolic faith and the original apostolic message that the first church had at the inauguration of the church, which was the day of Pentecost. Amen. That's where the church began. Amen. And our hearts has been turned back. And we want everything they had. We want it. It's our entitlement because Jesus has paid for it. And we are here to worship him. And I want to say this morning, if we claim we are bride and we have no vision for the lost, I'm sorry, but that's not the bride Jesus is coming for, because we must be like Jesus. And Jesus has a heart for the lost. He wants to save the sinner. He came to save sinners. For this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus loves a sinner. He loves a prostitute, the homosexual, the drunkard, the down and out. They've all the same condition. It's called the heart condition. And if they can get the heart fixed, everything will be fixed. And only Jesus can fix the heart. Thank God he can deliver all, by few or by many. His arm's not shortened, his ear's not heavy, but he's able to save for the uttermost. Thank God, if we say we're the bride of Christ, we have a vision for to see people saved. We must have the feeling he has. Adam had the feeling when he said, Lord, I'm taking Eve's place. Jesus had it when he said, I'm taking their place. Spiritual Eve we are. And he took our place on the cross. He was wounded and bruised and spit upon and beaten with reeds and rods so that we could be free. Then we must have the same compassion. We can't look and look at her and look at him. We need to look with compassion like Jesus. When Jesus met the woman at the well, he never preached her a sermon about adultery. Hear me this morning. There's a lot of people and they pick people out and they preach at them. Jesus never once done that. He knew what the woman had done. He told you about five husbands. He's who you now has not your husband. And he says, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. But you got to drink of living water. A drink of living water. He showed her the love of God. Now, I'm not saying you don't preach against sin. Certainly you do. The Bible says, repent. Turn around. But Jesus can save all. Do you believe that this morning? He can save anybody. Look what Jesus said to John on the Isle of Patmos when he appeared to him, Revelations 1, 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now, if you rehearse this story and read this story in Revelations 1, John knew, and he had tried, and he was crying because no one could open these seals. And when these seals would be opened, it would be a revelation of the book of redemption and a revelation of God's redemptive plan that he had right back from eternity. And here it is. Here it is. Also, it will expose the devil in every single age who he was. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, I tell you, when someone supernaturally, when a hand is laid on you, you can never be the same again. Hear me this morning. When a supernatural hand is laid upon you, you will never be the same again. Brother, you can run, you can hide, but you belong to the Lord. The Lord has paid for you. He owns you. You're his. And the devil can do nothing about it. The Lord loves you this morning. In spite of your fears, in spite of your failures, the Lord loves you. Loves you, and the blood of Jesus lays there for you. Oh, I love this. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I tell you, when I was in jail, I was going to kill myself. The devil told me all sorts of stuff. I was suicidal, but somebody came in that room and that voice spoke to me. And that voice never told me about my sins and all my troubles and all them things. And I want you to hear this morning. Many of us are trying to get God to speak to us through a works program. God does not work where you build yourself up to the level and that'll give you favor with him and he'll speak to you. God will speak to you when you least expect it. God will speak to you without you doing anything because you're chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And he knows you and he ordained you to life. I was certainly not living for God. I could say I'm living far better now than I was living then. But I want to tell you, he spoke to me then. And the hand touched me and the voice says, I love you and gave myself for you. That's not much to be said, but that was enough that was spoken that my shackles broke and Jesus freed me. I was in a jail physically, but I was also in a jail captive spiritually. But the chains broke just with a few words from the master. I tell you, it's wonderful when you're freed. Wonderful when you're freed. That's why I tell you the love of God, we can't explain it. You know, we could have words with a wife, she could have words with a husband. We could have days where we think we love her or him or whatever better than other days, but his love never changes. God is love. The Bible says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's the Lord. Loves you this morning. He loves you. You know what he wants you to do, brother and sister, in that service this morning when we come to worship? All he wants you to do is just say, Jesus, I love you. My heart's out. If you love somebody, you'll tell them it. Sometimes it's hard to say it, but if you really love them, you'll tell them it. And just them few words, I love you, can change the situation. And the Lord wants you to say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Jack Coe said, if you want the power of God to come in a meeting, just tell the Lord you love him. Keep telling him it, because he loves to hear it. I tell you, I wasn't telling him it in jail, but he told me it for 10 nights. For 10 nights, touched on the shoulder. For 10 nights, I heard the voice, I love you, and gave yourself for me. He's not destroyed the devil over my life, hearing that voice. Jesus says, my words are spirit and they're life. Jesus said, you're now clean through the words that I've spoken unto you. You're clean. You're washed. You're clean through the words. They're clean words. There's a lot of words we can hear which are filthy, dirty words. But his words are clean words. I'm going to close. Verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. In this proclamation we see Christ has abolished death, that he has the keys of the underworld. He's got them. And up the grave, and sooner or later he will open the gates and free their captives from death. The last enemy shall be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15:26. It's going to be destroyed. I'm going to come down. My brother's going to come. We're going to worship the Lord. I want you to get beside yourself this morning. I want you to tell Jesus you love him. If you've never done it before, do it this morning. Just say, Lord, I love you. Because you first loved me. You first loved me. We never sought him. He sought us. You think of it. Even though Adam did what he did, God come looking for him. Isn't that beautiful? He came looking for him. And he said, Adam, where are you? The psalmist David says, where shall I go from thy presence, Lord? If I go down to the deepest hell, you're there. If I go up to the highest heaven, you're there. Backslider, the Lord loves you. He loves you. And you can never get away from him. He loves you this morning. Let's stand our feet this morning. I'm going to pray and our brother's going to come. Praise God. If you want prayer again this morning, just to be in that place with God, lift your hand up. Make a decision in your own heart that you're going to go forward from God from this moment. Make a decision that you're going to go forward with it. Or renounce the devil. Renounce him. He's no power over you. Jesus loves you. Jesus has paid for you completely. You've been purchased. That means bought. With the blood of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray for the hands raised this morning for your wisdom and guidance. For the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray in the remainder of this service, Fathers, we worship you that the Holy Ghost will move in this meeting. Lord, that you'll touch people right in their chairs for their sitting. You know the very secrets of the heart. Father, meet people's needs. Pray for the sister that's discouraged. Oh, God, give her strength. Pray for that sister that doesn't know what way to turn or what to do. Give her the wisdom and the guidance you need. Guide her. In Jesus' precious name. Be the provision for everyone in this room. Be the health and strength for everyone in this room. For a brother that's sick at home. Brother Nigel. Brother Yule. Sister Winifred. For every one of them. For any listening in to this message. May they know the Master's touch. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one.
Matthew, do we have the words of that little chorus? I want to have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. Do we have that? I'm going to get beside myself when I get beside my King. I'm going to let the glory roll when the road is called in glory. I'm going to get carried away when I get carried away. I'm not sure if we have it. No, we don't have it. Well, I'll try and see if I can if I'm not get mixed up on the end. Maybe we don't know it very well, but we can maybe try. I'm gonna have the time. I'll show a case. I'm gonna have the time. I'm gonna get carried away. I'm gonna have the time of my life. Sing that here is all I need now. Praise God. Oh, Underneath a load of guilt and care, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and I will never. Underneath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and I shall never be the same.